The following is a preview of the Crusade Channel's Mike Church Show. To listen to this entire amazing original presentation of the Crusade Channel commercial-free, purchase a Founders Pass membership for as little as 26 cents per day at crusadechannel.com. Failure to do so ensures the demise of the free world, the likelihood of Jeff Bezos selling you Soylent Green, and the financial security of the liberal media you claim to despise.
Really?
Yes, really.
So, what are you waiting for? Bernie Sanders to actually get elected? Go to crusadechannel.com, click the join button, and buy yourself a Founders Pass membership. Log into the site, download the complete version of this show, and then, how does the judge say it?
How about a fresca?
Enjoy your fresca. Having saved the free world and proved you actually do despise the liberal media and are now part of a real crusade. The Crusade Channel. King size truth. From radio-sized speakers.
In its application, there should be some sort of pastoral accommodation. It doesn't go so far as to actually explicitly say that. He doesn't say that the faithful aren't obliged in every case to follow the teaching, but he gives excessive credence to the idea that, well, these days it's so difficult to understand and follow this teaching. Really, why was it so difficult in 1969 to follow a teaching that had been followed in 1569 when people were living in huts with no running water? I don't get it. If anything, it was far easier, given the material comforts available to men of the 20th century, to maintain a decent family life with a large family. And Catholics did have large families back then. So he opened the door to this idea that, oh, today it's so difficult to understand and apply this teaching. Well, nevertheless, he affirmed it. He said that it's intrinsically immoral and that any act which is designed to frustrate the procreative power of the marital act cannot under any circumstances be justified.
Okay.
But another thing he did that was problematic was to elevate the unitive aspect of marriage to an end of marriage that was perceived to be co-equal with procreation. That's problematic because then it gives a character to the sexual act considered in isolation to which it isn't really entitled. It's not entitled to a moral equivalency, the marital act, with the creation of an immortal soul,
okay,
or the procreation of an immortal soul with God. So there are certain ambiguities that have lent themselves to problems.
Okay, all right. Second question. Last time you and I talked, I have read the Ottaviani intervention. And after having read it twice, and then read a supporting document about it, and then considering where we are as a church today, and some people are out there writing about this, and I know you have been, you have written about this, and many at the Remnant newspaper certainly have. It occurs to me that with the crisis of the McCarrick crisis, with the sodomite sacristans, copyright 2018 Mike Church, and all that we're dealing with today, it occurs to me that the faithful should be actively praying for and, if necessary, campaigning for a restoration of the Tridentine Rite, the Romani Missali of Pius V, and all the teaching and all the beautiful acts, the old calendar, the way it was observed, all of this, because this is what has been stripped away. My phrase is, you can't lukewarm your way. The Catholic Church and the faithful cannot lukewarm our way out of this crisis back to any form of a state of grace. Now, of course, God has an awful lot to do and to say about that, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And in reading the Ottaviani intervention, I mean, if I weren't on a little bit more firm of a philosophical to mystic footing, I might even be sitting out here screaming from the rooftops that the NO is not valid. course, I won't do that, and I'm not going to say that, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that Otto Viani intervention. Also, I made a mistake earlier, dummy me. August the 15th is the Assumption, the Feast of the Assumption, just so you don't have to send me an email and correct me.
Oh, I missed that. You said that?
I did. I was my bad. My bad. Anyways, help me out. Help me out here with the Otto Viani intervention, and we can't lukewarm our way out of this crisis.
Well, the Otto Viani intervention predicted that the innovation of the liturgy that Paul VI was about to impose upon the church would have disastrous consequences. But going beyond the Otto Viani intervention, look at a book called Reform of the Roman Liturgy by Klaus Gamber, to which the future Pope Benedict XVI, writing as Cardinal Ratzinger, provided the French language preface. And Gamber says, in essence, that because of the actions of Paul VI, the Roman Rite has essentially been destroyed, and that the only way back to sanity is to make it once again the norm of our faith. You can't take the received and approved rite of Mass for 2,000 years and toss it aside without catastrophic consequences. Ratzinger said somewhere, I don't have the source in front of me, that a church which could say that was once its most precious possession is now to be forbidden, why would anyone believe in such a church any longer? That's the essence of what he said. And that's why when he became Pope, he rectified the injustice of the attempt to suppress the traditional Mass by basically stating in Summorum Pontificum, July 7, 2007, that it had never been juridically abrogated. Never. It was a false flag operation designed to persuade people that somehow the Pope had forbidden what he had no power to forbid. Again, the constancy of the magisterium was at stake here. A Pope cannot forbid the Church's received and approved rite of Mass. And until it's restored, the crisis cannot be ended. There has to be liturgical unity in the Church. You know, I heard from a convert the other day, contacted my office. He converted from atheism.
Wow.
And he became a Catholic, African-American. And he went to a Latin Mass. And he wondered, without any background in this whatsoever, he wondered why this Latin Mass was not the norm in the church. Because he could instinctively see that this is serious worship, the kind of worship that inculcates belief in what the church teaches by the actions of the priest and the participation of the faithful in a solemn way. Lex orandi, lex credendi. You believe the way you worship.
Yes.
If you worship in a frivolous manner, you're going to have frivolous beliefs. So he could see this instinctively, and many people have seen it instinctively when they witness the traditional liturgy being done in some isolated church somewhere for the first time. And the universal sentiment among these people is that they've been robbed. The church has been robbed of her patrimony, and they can't imagine why the leadership of the church would impoverish the liturgy the way that it has been impoverished. But this is part and parcel of this terminal situation we've been discussing for the past 45 minutes or so, a situation unlike any other crisis the church has witnessed before that's going to call for a very dramatic resolution. It's going to be sudden and dramatic at some point in church history.